In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that should take place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. As Anthony said, welcome. For those of you who I haven't had the chance to meet, my name is Chris, and we are incredibly excited to be able to celebrate that event with you tonight, to be able to celebrate this moment when God decided to no longer be distant, when God decided to step into your story and my story. And as we've prepared for tonight, the reality is that we have had quite a celebration leading up to tonight. We've been able to celebrate in so many different ways over the past few weeks, whether it's our kids' concert or whether it's our Christmas exchange, or if you're with us just a few days ago, we had 8 individuals who took the step of baptism here on this stage. It's just been an unbelievable celebration as we've been walking through this Christmas season. And as we've been walking through the event of Christmas and the celebrations of Christmas, we've been asking ourselves a consistent question. And that question is this: how do we make sure that the event and the celebration of Christmas, while we want to engage it and while we want to experience it, how do we make sure that the event of Christmas doesn't steal from us the power and the experience of Christmas? What Christmas was actually intended to be, the reason why he actually stepped into your story and my story. And over the past couple of weeks, we've seen some really interesting things as we've looked at what it was that the angels declared in this moment as they proclaimed Christmas. And we've seen some amazing truths of what Christmas has made possible. And the angels spoke of joy, but we've seen that joy, it's not found in the presence that we get or the presence that we give. It's actually found in the presence of God in our lives and how Christmas made it possible for us to know that no matter where we are, no matter where we go, that He's constantly with us. He wasn't just with us for a moment, but he's constantly with us. And then this past Sunday, we saw the power of the peace of Christmas and how Jesus, as he steps into our story, makes it possible for us to know peace, not only with him, but with ourselves and with those around us, and what it means to step into the reality of forgiveness. But as we come together tonight for the last time in this Christmas season, and as we prepare for for the event, the day of the event tomorrow. I want to have one final conversation with you about how we ensure that we experience the power of Christmas, the love of Christmas, all that Christmas was meant to be. To do that, I want to go back to our conversation on joy, and I want to talk again about this idea of joy. And it's amazing how excited we get about the event of Christmas. And I don't know what your household is like, but I was trying to get my kids ready for tonight, and I've got three little boys, and I was trying to get them dressed the way that their mom wants them dressed and to get them here, which means the way that my wife wanted them dressed was multiple layers, okay? Now, boys don't like to wear multiple layers at any time, let alone when it's Christmas Eve. And trying to get kids to do anything on Christmas Eve is very, very difficult because they're amped. I mean, they're just amped, and they're so excited. They're so excited about what's coming up and so excited about what they're going to get tomorrow and the presents under the tree. Some of you, I can see on your faces that your experience was the same as you prepared to come here. And they're so excited. It's interesting because sometimes I wonder, this is just kind of my house around Christmas. My kids are super excited, but sometimes I wonder if my wife isn't more excited. My wife is big on Christmas, but it's a very different thing. My kids are really, really excited. My kids are really, really excited about what it is that they're going to get. My wife is really, really excited about what she gets to give. My wife is a gift person. She doesn't necessarily like to get gifts, but she loves to give gifts. How many of you are like that here? You're gift givers, right? Oh, we love you people. We love you people. Some of you are smart enough to pay attention to who raised their hand. Those are the people you want to make friends with. But she's super excited about what it is that she gets to give. And it's interesting. It's interesting because as you grow up, that kind of shifts a little bit, doesn't it? In the beginning, Christmas is, okay, what am I going to get? But as you grow up, it shifts a bit. As you mature, it shifts a bit. Some of you are like, it hasn't shifted for me. Yeah, because you haven't matured. As you mature, it shifts. And all of a sudden it becomes, okay, how do I get to love the people around me? Who do I get to give to? And it shifts a bit, doesn't it? And it's actually that shift that I want to talk about tonight. Because as we've walked through the past few weeks and we've looked at what Christmas is about, we've looked at what we get from Christmas. And so we've looked at the joy and the peace that we get and what we get to experience from it and what we get to enjoy of it and what it's made possible for us. But Christmas isn't just about what you get, is it? It's about what you give. And so as we come together tonight, I want to ask you a question. We walk into Christmas and we spend a ton of time thinking about, okay, what are we going to give? And laying out the list of the people that we're going to give to and what we're going to give to this person, what we're going to give to this person, what we're going to give. And okay, what am I going to give to my boyfriend? What am I going to give to my girlfriend? What am I going to give to my spouse? What am I going to give to, what are we going to get for our kids? And what are we going to give? And we're figuring all this out. And what are we going to give in terms of family? What are we going to give in terms of... Let me ask you something. As you walk into Christmas, what are you going to give him? What'd you get him? The one who gave everything for you. The one who loves you best. The one who adopted you as his kid. What'd you get him? I have to be honest, as I prepared for tonight, I was incredibly emotional. I know some of you are like, really, Chris? You were emotional? I know, it's shocking. But I actually sat in my office and just cried. Because it struck me how many Christmases I've made lists of who I was going to give to, and I don't know if he was ever on that list. As you prepared for Christmas, did he make the list? You still have one night left. It hit me. There are times in my life when I recognize that I don't view God as personal. And I continue the relationship. I don't view the relationship the right way. I don't really view it as a relationship. I don't really view it as the way that Jesus came to make it possible that we could walk with him and engage him the way that we would engage a father, the way that we'd engage a brother, the way that we'd engage a friend, that we could experience him in this way. And there are moments in my life where I'm exposed. I see, like, well, wait, why don't I think of him this way? I think of everyone else in my life when it comes to Christmas. I think through this, like, and that doesn't mean I'm good at giving gifts. People who know me know I'm not good at it. But I still think about it at some point. And as I prepared for tonight, it overwhelmed me. Why don't I walk into Christmas thinking about what I can give him? And I know for some of you, you're sitting there thinking, and it's a logical thing to think, but what would you give him? I mean, what do you give a God who has everything? Is there a website for that? I know there's a website for the guy who has everything, or the wife that has everything. What do you give a God who has everything? Romans actually talks about this. He says, you could never give to God so much that he would owe you. It says this. It says, who has ever given to God that God should repay him? And the truth is, there's nothing that God needs. But, there is something he wants. Do you know that? There is something he wants. You say, well, I mean, what would you give to him? And it's not like he's given you, a Christmas list that you get to choose off of. Well, I would argue that maybe he has. Maybe he has. I think one of the times where he makes it so clear, like, I mean, incredibly crystal clear of what it is that he wants. He's actually talking about the nation of Israel. And if you don't know the history of it, God God's passionate about the Jewish people. They were his people, and he cares deeply for them. And he wanted to be able to experience this relationship with him where he loved them and they loved him. And there's this moment where he's talking about the relationship, and he's talking about what it is that they've given to him and what it is that he actually wants. I think it's one of the most clearest places where he lays out his list. Like, this is what I want, except for the fact that it's not actually a very long list. It's found in the book of Isaiah, and God's speaking to Isaiah, and he says this. He says, "These people come near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts, well, their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men." And in this really interesting moment, God speaks to what it is that had been given to him, and in contrast, what it is that he wanted. And so he says, these people, they've given me all these different things, and they honor me, and they say these things about me, and as he continues, he says, but it's just things that have been taught by men. He says, but it's just these traditions that they step into, and they're just doing these things and doing these things and doing these things. But the truth is, they don't really love me. Their hearts are far from me. Jesus actually quotes this in Matthew. And in this moment, I believe God shares with us what he really wants. Because you see, what he wants is your heart. What he wants is you. He says, I don't want all of the traditions and all of the big, like, no. What I want is them. It's their heart. What I want is for them to love me in the way that I've loved them. As a father, this is so clear to me. Because my kids, as bad as I am at giving gifts, my kids are worse. And they go to school and they come home with these things, and I have to act like I like it and then wait till I throw it away, and it clutters my house. And it's super annoying. I don't want what they can give. Outside of one thing. Them. And here's the thing. That's exactly the way he feels about you. That passage in Romans where it talks about what can we give to God? It's interesting. Listen to how it continues. It says, "Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things." He has everything. He doesn't need anything. "To him be the glory forever. Amen." And he comes to this point where he says he's got everything. I mean, what could you possibly give to him? But he doesn't say there's nothing to give to him. He actually continues and he says this. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." He doesn't come to the end of it and say he's got everything, so there's nothing to give. He comes to the end of it and says he's got everything, and really the only thing he cares about is you. So bring him you. He didn't come on Christmas because he wanted us to have a holiday about it. He didn't come because he wanted the parade and the lights and all of this. No. He came because he wanted you. And if we give him the service and the lights and all of the songs and all of this stuff, but we don't actually give him us, well, then we've missed Christmas entirely. Let me ask you tonight, who or what has your heart? As you walk into Christmas, who or what has your heart? Maybe it's another person that you're dating, the person that you wish you were dating, the person that you're married to. Maybe it's not a person. Maybe it's a career. Maybe it's a level of wealth. What is it that consumes you, that you think about the most, that you love? What is it that has your heart? As we walk into Christmas, I want to invite you tonight to give not just to those around you, but to actually experience Christmas and to give to the one who gave everything for you. But he doesn't want you to give him a service, and he doesn't want you to give him a nod, and he doesn't want you to give him a song. He doesn't want you to give him all that sometimes we think Christmas is about. What he wants for you to give him is you. And here's the greatest thing about this. I was so excited about this when I thought about this. I once had a friend who would play Santa in like malls and stuff. Yeah, he was a weird looking dude. And like, it's cool to look like Santa for like 3 weeks, and then the rest of the year people just avoid you. But I remember talking to him, and I said, what's the most difficult thing about this? I figured it was like the kids who pee on you because they're crying, you know? I was like, what is the most difficult? And there's some pretty awful things. If you ever get a chance to just hear a Santa story, it's amazing, of all the things that they experience. And I said, what's the most difficult thing? And he looked at me, and he said, it's not at all what you'd expect. He said, the most difficult thing is the request that you hear that you know you have no way, and no one has any way of answering. But here's the thing about it. As we come together tonight, and God steps into your life and says, this is what I want from you. Here's the thing. Listen to me. I think this is the best news. You can give it to him. You have it. Like, how many times in your life is there someone that you love and they ask you for something? You're like, I can't do that. I wish I could do that. I wish I could give you a unicorn, honey, but I can't. It just doesn't happen. You can't do that. Well, guess what? As we come together tonight and God has stepped into our lives and said, this is what I want from you, you have it. You have the ability to look in the face of the one who created you, the one who gave his son for you, and to be able to say, I can give you what you want. Dad, this Christmas, I can get you what you want. Somebody's at your door. Check that real quick. I can give you what you want. The question is, will you? What is it that has your heart tonight? Will you instead? Will you instead give it to him? And I know some of you are here, and you think that God wants for you to get it right, and God wants for you to follow the rules. And if you were going to really give to God what he wants, then you'd make sure that you get this religion thing down. In that passage where he says they do all these things, but their hearts are far from me, he's talking about some of the most religious people who've ever lived. They get it perfectly right, but that's not what God wants from you. And I want to tell you, for maybe the first time in your entire life, it's not what God wants. He wants you. And I want to invite you tonight to come before him and say, God, I'm yours. And God, I want nothing more than to love you with all that I am. And God, I'm sorry for when my heart gets distracted by all these other things, because I want my heart to be no one's but yours. For some of you, this is going to be the beginning of your journey, because you've never said this to God. You've never actually, some of you have never even heard this about God. And it's as simple as you going to him tonight and just saying, God, if this is true, I want to begin this journey with you. I want to know what it is. I want to know what it is to be loved by you in this way, and I want to love you in this way. For some of you, this is going to be the beginning of your journey. For others of you, you've given your heart to him before, but you've allowed it to stray. And tonight, you need to come back to him and say, you know what? God, I'm really, really sorry. I've allowed my heart to get wrapped up in these other things. And this Christmas, I want to bring it back to you. I want to make sure that I give to you the best thing I could possibly give. I want to make sure that you are the one who has my heart. And then for others of you, the truth is you've given your heart to him. And tonight, I want to encourage you. Don't get distracted by the kid yelling. Don't get distracted by the other things in your life. What you're giving to him is what he loves most. I don't know where you are, but here's the thing. You've got one night left. What will you give him? It's not too late. You have one night left. Will you give him for Christmas what he wants most? Your heart. Will you pray with me? Father, to be honest with you, I feel like a child who has the opportunity to be able to actually give their parent something that their parent wants, that they actually know that they want, that's valuable to them. And Father, as we come together tonight, for all of us who are here in this room, for all of us who are watching online, Father, I pray that we would begin to get amped up about Christmas, and specifically this opportunity that we have to be able to bring to you that which you want. To not just receive the amazing gifts that you've given us, but to give you this gift back. To bring to you our lives. And to say, we want for you to be the focus of our heart. We want to be yours. We don't want to just be loved by you in the amazing way that you've loved us. We want to love you back with all that we have. Father, I pray for those who tonight for the first time are coming to you in this. I pray that they would see the beauty of the relationship that you've made possible with them, that they could be adopted as your child, that they could, because of what Jesus did on that cross, that they can step into this relationship with you. Father, I pray that tonight would motivate them to begin a journey, not just of being pursued by you, but pursuing you. Father, I pray for those who are here whose hearts wandered, or maybe they're living with a heart that's divided right now, and they recognize you're not actually first, that they're not actually fully surrendered to you. I pray that would be the gift that they give. And Father, I pray for those who are here who have given you their heart. I pray that they would be encouraged, that they would celebrate the truth that this Christmas they once again get to give you what it is that you long for most. In Jesus' name, amen.